Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by Pete Donaldson, who's right here touching me right now.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible, but he's here in person. Ooh. In Shibuya. We are standing outside the front of the biggest Don Quixote in Tokyo.
Mm.
And it's a pretty hot sunny day. It's now about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're going to go inside.
We're approaching golden hour, so we thought what we should do is head inside because it's blubbing hot out there. I'm really cannot wait for it to rain because it's so incredibly hot. And when it gets hot here, it's so stuffy.
Well, we're in.
So now we're in the air conditioning Don Quixote, which is really good.
Let's go over here. So this is a little bit of an experiment. We've never done anything like this before. Filming on the go, recording on the go. It could be great, could be awful. We're going to find out soon after. But we're not standing.
You're the guy from YouTube, right?
I'm the guy from
YouTube. Abroad.
I'm abroad. Abroad,
yeah. What's your name, man? We're just recording a podcast. Hello, Peter.
No,
it's all right. No, say hello. Where are you from?
I live in Sweden.
Oh, I love your job. We were just talking about how the podcast gets so many Swedish listeners. How long are you here for?
3 weeks.
Oh, I love your job.
I've been talking just for a couple of days. I'll be touring around on the Shinkansen.
Pass. Fantastic.
I'm a big fan of it. I just watched a horse.
Oh, the horse, mate. Yeah. Bit of a divisive one, that one. Yeah, we like horses.
A bridge
too far.
Even for a lot of Japanese fans.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take any more of your time. I just because you don't really look like the way. I was like, is it that guy from the...
He's grown his moustache.
Yeah, I've got facial hair. It's the glasses. Glasses.
You look like the evil twin or something.
I look like my evil twin.
Remember when Cartman had got a moustache in South Park?
But not really like you. I just want to say I'm a big fan and keep it up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, lovely meeting you. Yeah, thanks, man. All the best. Have a great time.
Take it easy. There you go.
Tips from Sweden.
From Sweden. We were just talking about how many Swedish listeners we have on the podcast. Clearly, that man doesn't listen to the podcast. He didn't know who I was, but he clearly watches your videos. So you are quite big in Sweden, it seems.
Big in Sweden.
Big in Sweden. So you've taken us almost immediately, Chris, to the Kit Kat
section.
We've
come into Don Quixote. The first place we've come to is the Kit Kat section. What flavours have we got? We've got sake.
We've got you're obsessed with sake. We've heard you're a fan of that.
A new flavour of sake, umeboshi, which is cherry. Sour plum, sorry. Mm. Tastes awful. Don't ever have that.
I had some beautiful sake on the way over on the ANA flight because I was obsessed with learning the word tsubasa, the wing. And the sake had the name was wing. So I said, tsubasa, please.
I'll have the tsubasa. I'll have the wing. How was it?
It was very nice, very sweet.
Did you feel sitting in business class with your sake?
Very crisp mouthfeel. Well, yeah, there's your tip. I went business class, spaffed a bit more money than usual, but...
It's right for some, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is, Chris, you're right, it is.
So, out of all these flavours, which flavour would you choose? There's so apple flavour, Kit Kat, there's...
Mount Mommy G...
Sandwich...
Manju flavour...
What flavour would you go for?
So that's a toasted bean sandwich sort of flavour over
red
there.
Red bean toast flavour Kit Kat.
So this one looks like an almond flavour. Like an almond... It's like a chunk of Kit Kat, but it's
nuts
in like a ball.
Nuts and almonds.
Nuts and almonds. That looks pretty good, actually. I nearly started going to open it to eat it, and I remember I'm in a shop, and I can't just go around doing that, because... If I was like filming a TV show or something, they probably would have squared it away with the owner.
Oh, what's this one?
Rum and raisin, mint yoghurt.
Right, let's get out of this. We can't just stand here looking at Kit Kats. Well, we could, but we probably not on the podcast.
We probably can. And so we've gone into the what do you call this? The omiyagi sort of section where it's just souvenirs. Sort of like, well, it's just loads of souvenirs. Matcha flavored nonsense.
Green tea.
I think the problem with like matcha is nobody in England certainly wants to eat it because they can't handle the texture of the rice itself. They don't like it.
Well, I think we've seen everything in Don Quixote.
Have we?
Is there any other particular sections you want to...
Well, let's have another walk, have a little bit more of a walk around. So we've experienced the Kit Kats and the omiyagi and the nonsense. There's a little Marvel section that sells a lot of Marvel stuff. Some drying mats. We're in souvenir magnet section. You can buy a Japanese yukata.
4,000 yen.
Yeah.
Yukata.
That's so. What's a yukata? Some kind of bathrobe.
It's kind of like a cheap kimono. Is the easiest way. Like when you go to an onsen or a ryokan, traditional inn, you get this in your room.
Right.
And you'll go for the bath. You'll go for a nice hot bath. You'll get one of these yukata on, and then you go for dinner.
Yeah,
sitting in a yukata, it's lovely.
Well, it says it gradually became worn by warriors as well, who would, after taking a bath, use it as a way of drying their body.
There you go. Half towel, half dressing gown, half yukata, half kimono. Freeze-dried strawberries soaked by white chocolate.
Does anyone want that in their life, really? We're a bit in the food section, aren't we? What I like about this Don Quixote that they've moved is like they've got like a little kind of... a little food section. You can buy sweet potatoes. Look
at
them.
Are you going to buy a sweet potato?
Look at those bad boys. It's beautiful. I do kind of want to eat it. That's heavy though, isn't it? That's going to send you straight to sleep. Awful business. We've gone up the wrong way. We can't find the escalator. We're in the beauty bit where everything gets a bit loud.
This is pretty disorientating.
That's one thing I've noticed as well. We're in the beauty section, which obviously has a lot of... sun cream, and the sun cream never goes below like 30 SPF.
Yeah, they're pretty good here
because people don't want to get tan. So all of the SPF stuff is like over 50. I can't find one that's under 40 or 50.
I've always found that a bit weird how the sun cream we have in the UK is like really low.
Yeah, because people want to get a tan. It's crazy. So yeah, we'll leave Don Quixote because it's very loud and confusing.
We've looked at Kit Kats. We've met Swedish viewers. We've discussed suntan lotion. Done.
And there's also outside Don Quixote, we've got a like a fake kind of hachiko kind of dog. What does that say? Any ideas?
It says, I can't read that.
Dog high five.
Tear something. This means like cheap hachiko, basically.
Right, okay.
Probably. Cheap hachiko.
A cheap hachiko.
Oh, man. I always find Shibuya so disorientating because it's so chaotic.
Yeah, and it's just people going places. If you ever want to see hell, Halloween night, McDonald's, 2 a.m. It is obscene. People who have lost their minds.
You've seen the very worst Shibuya has to offer, haven't you?
And also, of course, they've cancelled all public drinking in Shibuya.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I've been sent
what's
that
the point
a few
of even having? What's the point in doing Halloween in
if you can't,
Shibuya?
If you can't drink on the streets. It's crazy,
it's
isn't
the
it?
The reason it was good.
Yeah. So as we continue our journey through Shibuya, maybe do a couple of emails that have starred in the little box. The fax machine is open for business. How can people get involved, Chris?
BroadJapanPodcast@gmail.com.
Mary, this is Mary. Hello, Mary. Hey, Chris and Pete. My name is Mary, and I'm currently in Toronto, Canada, after moving from the UK.
Toronto.
After moving from Canada. After moving from the UK to Canada 2 years ago. I listen to the podcast while making dinner. I just pop in my headphones and away I go. It makes the whole ordeal a lot more bearable. It is an ordeal, isn't it? Old washing the dishes. Though it does leave my husband thoroughly confused, since all he hears is me cackling to myself while chopping vegetables. I've been debating even asking this question, but with a trip to Japan looking more and more likely, I don't really have a choice. While I'm ecstatic at the thought of finally being able to visit a country I've long had at the top of my travel list, I honestly don't know whether the trip will be awkward in any way or not.
Awkward?
Awkward because she wears a headscarf for religious reasons.
Right.
It's often been an issue in Western countries, and I've often been attacked by silly individuals because of it. Awful news. Sorry to hear that. That's dreadful. And I've heard stories from other similar women who've had less than ideal experience in Far Eastern countries, like South Korea, China, and Thailand, for example. Is Japan the same? What can I realistically expect in the larger cities so I'm not taken by any unwelcome surprises? I just want to be a normal tourist without worrying that someone's going to invade my space and do something to make me feel uncomfortable or unsafe. I mean, the way of the world as it is, I wouldn't discount anything, but I would also say that the Japanese are probably up the top of the list of people who just leave everybody well alone.
Yeah, no, you see quite a lot of people in headscarves in Tokyo.
Exactly.
It's really not an issue. I think you'd be all right. Completely fine. Japan's good like that.
Yeah, I mean
they might not understand the religions of the world, but they're certainly respectful.
People just go out of their way to avoid conflict or doing anything.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine. Don't worry about it.
So, and they're just enjoying the podcast, and apparently our accents remind her of home. So, thank you very much for that email, and I hope you enjoy yourself in Japan, Maori. Maori
Do.
We've got a quick message from Martin. Hello, Martin Brookshaw. Hey, Chris and Pete. Just a quick story from when I was in Japan. I was in an arcade in Hiroshima at night with a few friends just playing random games when one of my friends found some punching game where you hit a punch bag as hard as you can and the screen shows how much power you put into your punch.
They love that
here, don't they? My friend went up and did the machine, and frankly he was pretty bad, so I decided that I could do a bit better and got a pretty decent score. When I was doing this, a Japanese man, his girlfriend and a few of his friends, who must have been 20, saw me and decided to treat it as a bit of a contest.
Oh god.
This guy was like an average sized Japanese man. I'm a 6'5" Australian, so stature wise I reckon I could win this one. He did his few punches and slightly beat me, and then motioned to me and said, "Dozo," like, you know, after you go on, have a crack.
You're next.
Not want to back down from a challenge, I went and punched it as hard as I could, hurting my wrist in the process to beat his score pretty definitively. It was his turn, and the guy just looked at his girlfriend, then did the biggest roundhouse I've ever seen and completely ruined my score by more than double.
Oh my god.
He paused to his friends and looked triumphant, and then tried to get me to go again. "Daijobo," I replied, but he kept beckoning me to go again. Defeated, I slinked off, entirely defeated, as he continued posing to his friends. To this day, I feel he was some kind of fighter and purposefully sandbagged me to make me look bad when he actually tried.
Well,
so there you go.
You find people in Japan love these kind of physical challenges. Any chance to display masculinity in some way? Like arm wrestles. Have you ever had an arm wrestle?
Right, okay. Do they do arm wrestles?
They love it. Every time I'm in a bar, someone's like, "Do you arm wrestle?" I'm like, not really, but okay. And then you have to do it. You have to arm wrestle.
Really? I'm also really worried that they'll snap my arm. Because I've seen it in like arm wrestling competitions. Like people's arms have just absolutely cracked.
Oh no.
It's horrible.
We're kind of leaving Shibuya.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank the Lord. That was loud.
I can't wait to hear this back and see and hear what it's like. It must just be mental. It must be chaos. But now you know exactly what it's like to walk through Shibuya, the most, probably the busiest district in all of Tokyo.
Yeah. Possibly all of Japan. It's crazy.
Probably all of Japan, yeah. You'll know what it sounds like now. Noisy.
We just walked past the Denny's. You never see them in Britain, certainly.
Denny's.
Like a, it's like a, really bad, it's like a hamburger. Once. It's like a, you went to a Denny's.
I had a really bad date at Denny's with someone. they chose the venue. Unsurprisingly.
Well, it sounded like you could have offered them the to pay for the food, I guess.
Well,
it wouldn't have been expensive.
It was a really bad date. I was reluctant to go on it. And she was like, I know a good place. And I was like, oh, great. We went there.
It was, Denny's.
I was expecting like a swanky Italian restaurant at best. It wasn't. And it was so awkward and horrific that I had to escape. I wanted to try and like drink my way out, right? When everything's really bad, drink some alcohol, drink your way out. But all they sold was orange juice.
In so Denny's, there's no booze.
Well, the one I was in certainly didn't have any, right. So I had to down a ton of orange juice and hope that the delicious, sugary taste of orange juice would somehow negate the horrific
the acid,
day.
Acid eats away at your stomach and you've got to go to E&E, you've got to go to hospital.
And that was the first and the last time I've set foot in Denny's.
Well, we're heading towards Yoyogi Park, which is a beautiful part of
Tokyo. In that building there, in the
Tokyo.
Distance?
Yes, I can.
Do you know what it is?
Nope.
It's the... actually, you can see two buildings on the horizon now.
Mm.
One on the left, Park Hyatt. Lost in Translation.
Is that the Lost in Translation Shinjuku Hotel?
And on the right is the Tokyo Metropolitan Government Tower, where you can go up and get the best free view of Tokyo.
Oh, that's the one you're giving the big lift?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Based in Shinjuku.
I find...
5 kilometres away.
I find Shibuya incredibly... relaxing. Yogi Park, like the in between Shinjuku and Shibuya. There's this beautiful park, and there's not a lot of green spaces. Big green spaces in Tokyo, is there? Because they just seem to build on everything. But it's a lovely part of the city. And there's obviously, is it Himeji Shrine next door to?
Yeah, there is, and Harajuku.
And Harajuku, which again is very noisy.
So if you like shopping, parks, and shrines, the place to be. It's right in the middle of Shinjuku and Shibuya.
Yeah.
So often, whenever I'm in Shibuya and I need to get out, like now, just head towards the Yoyogi Park.
Ooh.
Oh, look, that's the new... I haven't seen that. That's the new stadium they're building for the Olympics.
Oh, my God, it's massive.
Huge stadium.
Yeah, that wasn't up last time I was there. Gigantic.
I've not
How
seen that.
How did they find the space for that, then?
It's quite the sight.
Originally... It was an EMAT that ages ago.
Originally, it was the design for it was a British designer. They won the award, and they started building it. Then they realised they couldn't actually do a design because it was going to be too damn expensive. It was like $21 billion or something. So they scrapped her design and got a Japanese designer in to do it. So that could have been British.
It could have been.
Could
British.
Have been. Could have left our mark on Tokyo.
We could have been a contender.
Alas, no.
So the walk from Shibuya through to Yoyogi Park, there's like a little kind of. It's the NHK building, which is the public broadcaster here in Japan.
The BBC of Japan.
The BBC of Japan. And on the way, there's like a little kind of walkway, beautiful kind of tree-lined streets. And there's a lot of... on a Saturday or a Sunday, there's usually like an antique market. And I love an antique market. I've spoken about it before, but there's a beautiful antique market and you just, you know...
Yeah.
People's odds and sods. And
last time I was
people
here...
people selling takoyaki down there as well. Lovely old job.
Last time I was here, there's a reggae festival.
A reggae festival.
You not. They would just play Bob Marley really loud for 3 hours. It was pretty amazing. Not exactly what you expect to find in the middle of Tokyo. But the turn... People love Bob Marley here.
Yeah, there's a reggae restaurant underneath where I'm staying at the moment. Under the hippies... Under the hippies stay, or whatever it's called. In Shibuya.
Right. A reggae
bar, like reggae food, bar. Like a bit, you know.
Have you gone in?
Jerk chicken and stuff. I went last time. The food's pretty good. Yeah, the food's okay. So, yeah.
The reggae culture seems at odds with Japanese culture though, right?
Yeah.
Reggae culture's kind of laid back, relaxed, chilled out.
Yeah.
Japanese culture, full on,
Officious.
No switching off.
Yeah.
No free time. Maybe that's why I say popular. It's kind of
an escape.
Are you a YouTuber?
Wow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Well, we walked, as we walked past the NHK building, we were hanging out with an NHK presenter, like a guy who does... yesterday, your mate.
Oh, right, yeah. Literally forgot
literally
my friend.
Literally your friend.
Poor old Pete.
The other Pete. Another Pete in the room, and he was lots of fun, and he does like the NHK kind of like... Is it NHK Cool? They're cool youth brand?
So I've got a good friend called Pete. I met him in a video games bar in Shinjuku. We're both rather drunk. He made me an elaborate quiz on the spot, and there's no better way to win me over than by making an elaborate quiz. 1 a.m. in the video games bar in Shinjuku. But... yeah, he's a really cool guy. He works for Cool Japan, and Cool Japan's kind of like this TV show where they put loads of foreigners in a room, basically, and get them to comment and give their thoughts on aspects of Japanese culture.
Right, okay.
It's a pretty big show, actually. If you've seen NHK World at all, odds are you have seen it at some point. But I don't really watch it myself. I don't really do Japanese TV, as I've mentioned before.
Yeah, I was watching a TV show about a... cops in Kyoto. What's happening over there outside the NHK? I don't think it's a are they assembling for a TV show?
I don't know, go and get stuck in,
but it looks like
go and pitch your TV show.
I thought it might be a protest, but I think it might just be a
protest in Japan.
Some kind
you must
of
be
filming.
Joking.
So do they do all their filming in there as well?
Yeah, they do. That's where NHK
these will all be people going into
It could be a studio audience or something, yeah.
Because they do that at ITV when they're filming, like, any kind of shiny floor Saturday night TV show. They'll have a queue of people, and it'll always be... And if it's, like, Jeremy Kyle or stuff like that, it'll all be bussed down from like Blackburn, all these older...
Hartlepool.
Older guys, Hartlepool, they'll get on the bus there and they'll end up... Oh, we've gone past Yoyogi's National Stadium, futsal court. Which is kind of like a little bit like five-a-side. There's a wonderful... In the middle of Shibuya, on one of the roofs, there is a stunning five-a-side kind of futsal football court.
Yeah.
And I really want to play on it. It looks
amazing.
See
aerial shots of Shibuya, that's the first thing you see, right? The football,
football pitch
on the roof of the skyscraper. You've been up there, right?
I've been up there. I had a little peek, yeah.
It was you play football?
Interesting. No, no.
You throw a ball off the roof?
Nobody invited me. Oh. I would like to get on top of a really windy roof in Shibuya and just boot a Mita Delta Premier League into the crowd. See if I can kill someone.
A rather worrying admission, Pete Dolson.
So we're just coming up darkness
to,
in us.
Just coming up to Yoyogi Park now. I can't wait to get into it. Nature's air conditioning, trees, Pete. Yeah. Shielding us from the sun.
Every now and again, I'll sort of try and get in there and they'll close it down because of dengue fever.
Yeah, I know, right?
The mosquitoes.
There's some mosquitoes, unfortunately, that kind of ruin the atmosphere somewhat with their fevers and plagues they carry. But I'm looking forward to getting in there.
Yeah, Yoyogi Park's kind of like one of those places that is so crazily sort of bereft of litter. It really is very, very strange to see a park where there's just not cans all over the floor. It's really, really weird.
I think Tokyo, as it is pretty clean, right? I did a video the other day. It's been a busy month, and I did a video on Tokyo Station. Tokyo Station. And that area is the most clean and sterile place I've seen in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, Japan is already probably the cleanest country on the world. And then there's this place, and it's just not a single piece of rubbish. I was filming there 8 or 9 hours. I saw nothing. There's no chewing gum. That's one of the key aspects of British culture, just chewing gum all over the roads.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. Perfectly clean, not a piece of rubbish. It felt a little bit like being in a theme park. Because they clean, like, Disney. Theme parks get cleaned meticulously every day. I think that's why, to me, a lot of Japan always does have that kind of theme park feel to it. Because it just feels so well cleaned and curated. Doesn't feel like a normal city.
Well, I mean, you can kind of see, we're just on the... I don't know what road this is called, but it's in between Yoyogi and Shibuya.
Yeah, we're just around the corner from Harajuku, the shopping.
And you can see in the undergrowth, in the thing, is a couple of homeless guys have set up tents and stuff, little kind of boxes. And their constructions, I think we spoke about it before, their constructions are something incredible. The way that they manage to sort of fashion little homes out.
Well, I think it's rainy season plastic at the moment, so they need a decent, thick plastic tarpaulin to keep themselves dry.
Here
we are. Yoyogi Park.
Yeah.
Let's go in through here. Let's cut in.
Let's cut through the garden path. A lot of crows around.
Let's get one over by a bicycle. Whoa.
Is there, you know, like these
Can you
lines
feel the temperature drop?
Yes,
genuinely. We just cut from one footpath into the forest, the Yoyogi Park. The temperature's gone down like 5 degrees. Beautiful.
So we're now in the park. And it's lovely. What can we see? Just a lot
what
of trees.
What can we see?
Trees, isn't it?
People on benches, people having picnics.
Relaxing.
Lots of umbrellas.
Yeah.
To shield people from the sun.
Yeah, as I said, a lot of people don't use sun cream, they use umbrellas.
What? Have you been here before, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I really like Yoyogi Park, as it, you can see like all aspects of Japanese culture in one place. People like studying, people working out, people relaxing, couples
romancing.
A lovely picnic. There's just like loads of different things going on. There's people over there playing. Like a crappy game of badminton.
I don't think you're allowed to play football in here, which is very disappointing.
Oh.
Could have had a pick-up game.
Question is there anywhere we could buy ice cream?
There was a place over there, I think.
Yes.
The first time I came to Japan, a friend who showed us round took us here, and I think that was when it was with a load of students and friends and stuff. And everyone brought their own booze, and I just brought sake one cup stuff. It's like the roughest of all the
one
sakes.
One cup sake?
Yeah, it's disgusting. And
if you were coming to my party, you'd be ejected. Thrown out. Oh, this guy's hit the jackpot. It's just like a guy here with three girls having a picnic.
He's having a lovely
listening
time.
To 80s music.
Where's that? Oh, yeah.
They've got it right today, haven't they?
just going to have a picnic. I thought I needed a massage earlier on today. My back started killing me, and I was like, Where would you go for a massage that's not going to turn into something worse?
Well, we saw one the other day in Nakano Broadway.
Yes,
there's a trendy district.
This woman was just like kneeling on the back of this poor guy.
A, yeah, guy laying he was flat, face down, with the woman kneeling into his back. It looks anything but therapeutic.
Do you want a quick email from Rachel?
I definitely do.
Hello, Rachel. It's a good one, this one. Hi, Chris and Pete. Enjoyed the podcast, etc., etc. I've been living in Japan for about 9 months now, and for the first 6 months, I lived in Sasebo, which is a relatively small town about an hour or so from Nagasaki. I'd arrived there late August, and within the first month, I thought it would be a good idea to go exploring in the countryside. I took the local train for 45 minutes to a place where there was supposed to be a nice waterfall, but as is the case in a lot of countryside locations, the reception wasn't great. The GPS on my phone had trouble working out where I actually was. God. I find that here, to be honest. Even in Tokyo, I find that the SIM
soft
card...
Softbank's a bit dodgy.
Yeah. So I thought I had to go up this mountain road to reach the waterfall, so I began my trek. After about an hour, I thought it was strange that there wasn't any indication of a waterfall nearby, just some farms when I reached the top of the mountain. Turns out the waterfall was all the way back down the mountain on a different road entirely, which meant I had another hour of walking ahead of me. By this time, the one water bottle I had, because I'm an idiot, had run out, and I was starting to sweat off the sunscreen I'd put on because it was a cosy 33 degrees that day, and that's Celsius. Feeling overwhelmed, I had no choice but to slog my way down. But about 15 minutes into the descent of shame, a white truck slowed down and stopped next to me. Inside, an elderly Japanese man gestured wildly to me, since his tiny pickup truck didn't have any automatic windows. He motioned to open the door, and while I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing in any other country, I felt, because it was the countryside and it was in Japan, I thought I was mostly safe on that one. He basically asked if I was lost and if I needed a ride. I told him I was going to the waterfalls, and he said he'd drive me there. Not only did he drive me there, he walked with me to the falls, which were right near a parking lot, out, and explained how he used to swim there as a kid. Then he asked if I was hungry.
Then he said, will you come swim with me now?
Let's disrobe. But he said I could drop you off at a convenience store, and you can go back from the train station from there. After the convenience store, he asked where I lived. Now again, out of context, it sounded a little bit sinister, but after hanging out with him for a bit at the falls, I didn't get the sense that he was anything but a nice old man who was just surprised and amused at finding a foreigner at the top of a mountain. I told him that I lived in Sasebo, and what do you know, he passed the train station and said he would drive me back to my apartment. I could not believe it. I insisted I could take the train, and he shouldn't go out of his way, but he wouldn't have any of it. I then offered to give him money for gas, but he refused. At the end of the day, I just think he wanted some company that day and didn't feel like the drive would be a burden on him. I've never to this day been so astounded by someone's kindness. Since then, other locals in Kyushu have also helped me out, and I'm convinced this is one of the best places on earth because of that. I've attached a selfie I took after he dropped me off, and he was the sweetest man ever. Look at him.
Oh, really? It's lovely.
Doesn't it lovely?
He's got a little baseball cap.
He's got a little baseball cap on.
And a cheeky smile.
A cheeky smile, and he's wearing and a towel around his neck.
Fantastic.
Like he's just been in a boxing match.
Well, when I was cycling through Kyushu last year, I'd found that people there are really, really friendly. Mm. They're so warm and outgoing. And you'll find that. You're going there in like a few days' time, right?
Yeah,
you're going
down
to Kyushu, to Kagoshima. Mm. People there are amazing.
Yeah, really, really kind. Maybe I'll go up a mountain.
Yeah, go in search for a waterfall, and you two can get a free ride off a nice Japanese dude.
The only time I ever talked to someone over a certain age was in this park. Down, I was buying ice cream because I love ice cream.
Coolish.
Probably coolish. I'll level with you.
Of course it was.
And this old man sort of stopped me and started having a chat with me. He was very drunk. But it was 3 PM, and I think that's what he was
doing. 3 PM?
3 PM, he was pissed. He was having a lovely time. Do you know what Japan needs more of? Community cycling initiatives.
I thought you were going to say drunk people.
Drunk people
at 3 PM.
I need more opportunities to hire bikes and be able to sort of know where I'm going to drop them off.
You're right. They could do more, but they could do more vending machines at bloody Yoyogi Park. Spent the last 10 minutes looking for some water to no avail. All while you were reading that story, I was listening. Above all, I was looking for a vending machine. And there's a fountain over there. I could go and stick my head in that.
You could do.
Probably won't do that.
No.
Dengue fever.
I think the fountain might be in the river as well. probably not ideal.
What I always find about Yogi Park is there's only one main entrance, and we're going the opposite direction from it.
Well, you've got... There's like a main road around there.
There's no food or drink this end of the park.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
Yeah, there's definitely a shop around here somewhere.
There's a lot of crows, though. Maybe we can
strap some to our hands. and float among the canopy.
That's probably.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll do some more of this. Maybe we'll do some
we'll
more,
do
of,
some
this
more of this.
We've done a couple of episodes out and about. We're going to have a listen back to see if it actually sounds like anything. So we've achieved so much. We went to Don Quixote, looked at some Kick-Ass, chatted to a man from Sweden.
Yeah,
Carl from Sweden. And then we hung out in his love hotels, and now we're in Yogi Park, which is pretty cool.
It's a nice day for a stroll.
It is a lovely day for a stroll.
I don't do it these days as much as I should, but when I used to come to Tokyo in the early days when I first moved to Japan, I would just earmark an entire day and just go strolling around it on my own and take photos. And back then I didn't know what I was going to find. And now I just feel like I should be doing it more. Mainly because I've put on a lot of weight recently. Editing Journey Across Japan, the irony. Journey Across Japan's sole objective was for me to get fit. And I did. I think I lost about 5 or 6 kilograms. Mm. But the editing of Journey Across Japan has completely negated any of the weight loss because I put it all back on because I've been sitting down in a room for months eating fried chicken editing.
Well, maybe...
Need Journey Across Japan Part 2.
Well, maybe Natsuki, the movie Part 2, where he gives up smoking, is a situation where he will get so stressed out about the editing at the end of the show that he will start smoking again. He achieves it, and then he goes right back.
This is sinister.
Yeah, do not enter.
There's a part of Yogi Park that says do not enter.
Do not enter.
Turn around, go back.
Is it just like for people wanting to go to the Meiji Shrine, just don't go there?
I don't know.
Pedestrians,
because you can get around it over here.
It's cycling. Say again?
I don't know why it's there.
Yeah.
Weird.
I think this is where you can hire bikes. I think I hired a bike and did a few turns.
It's a pretty big park though, isn't it?
It's massive, isn't it?
Yogi Park is
huge. Bearing in mind, it's a little bit like Hyde Park, I think, or Regent's Park. Very, very capacious. Or Hiroi, as they call it.
But we may or may not be back doing the doing this format on the go. Abroad Japan, on the go edition.
I like it.
ASMR Japan, depending on the quality. But for now, guys, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
No matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll be back next week to do it all over again.
Whether you're in Yoyogi Park or in a shop looking at Kit Kats, the Abroad Japan podcast is here for you. I've just spotted a little dog exercising area, and I will be going over there just to look at some fucking dogs, Chris. That is wonderful. Look at those dogs.
A wonderful way to end the podcast.
Dogs!
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.